97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back into Dutchunis. I'm Jamie Lynch. This is the DaBaby's hit, DaBabysitter.
I was listening to it.
We were just going through a little DaBaby tutorial for you there.
I can get into this. I really enjoyed it.
I was very impressed. You pointed it out. It's a good football eye by you. The upside-down handstand twerking the one girl was doing.
Yeah, that was my favorite part. So it was in DaBaby's hit Bop on Broadway. A girl, I we got to find out her measurables for
what's
the
what's her
for
niece
the
circumference size? Chip Kelly's interested in that.
And if you're wondering, DaBaby Bop on Broadway, minute 1, second 12, someone starts twerking while handstanding.
It's impressive.
And that's full body strength right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that's core.
Like, I can never do that. I will never be able to do that. I can't do a handstand. I can't twerk. No way in my life I can do both.
That's impressive. I also enjoyed how in his next video, Vibes, he played a girl's butt like a bongo drum.
Yeah.
So that was, the guy's got skills.
I'm sure there's groups, people who would frown upon.
Everything's frowned upon in the year 2020.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You can't do anything anymore.
That's true.
But apparently DaBaby can still play the butt like the bongo.
Listen, DaBaby looks like he has a lot of money, and listen, good for him.
Look, you've learned something today here on Saturday mornings with Jamie and Andrew.
I now know
all about DaBaby.
Who DaBaby looks like.
Yeah, and we got to get you and Trey to a DaBaby concert, and you guys can have a good time.
All right.
I would check out a DaBaby concert.
There's one coming up in Belgium. You want to go out
that
to
would
Belgium?
I'd love to go to Belgium. I might be going to Germany in September for Beer Fest.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my cousin's marrying a German girl in the Beer Fest month.
Drink a little Das Boot.
I'm hoping I can pull it off because the wife, Addie, cannot.
Because of the baby?
And I just said the wife, and people get upset with me when I say that.
I say the wife.
You can't. It's frowned upon.
Really?
Everything's frowned upon, Andrew.
Is it frowned upon if she calls me the husband in return?
I don't know. I don't think that's a thing.
Hey, listen, I don't care about this society. Just blast me to a moon.
So if you're just joining us this morning, we've been talking a lot about the Eagles offseason ahead. You know, I called it earlier and it kind of raised your eyebrows when I said it. A offseason that could dictate the next 4 or 5 years for this Eagles franchise and the direction it goes. It's that important between the amount of draft picks they have, the amount of roster decisions they have to make of guys on this. There's potentially 20 new Philadelphia Eagles on this team next year. And then you have a ton of draft picks and you're going to have some money to spend in free agency and you have to spend it wisely because there was a lot of holes on this team. In reality, the entire secondary could be gone.
Let me give you another stay or go because Jeff McClain put this out on the Philadelphia Inquirer, inquirer.com. It's been out for a while, but we're just getting to it now. We're still on the offense, but because you brought up the secondary, let me get to the secondary. And where are we at? Here we go. So, Ronald Darby, stay or go?
Gone.
Gone. I agree. So does 85.5% of the people who have voted. Rasul Douglas, stay or go?
Go.
Really?
Unless he was like vet minimum cheap.
Is he a free? I mean, they have everyone. This isn't free agents. I don't know.
Okay. He's probably on his, I don't know if he got picked up on a 5th-year option of his rookie deal, but he might be straight up a free agent, right? Because he's been here 4 years.
2020 is his last season.
Yeah.
He's a free agent in 2021.
Okay.
So the stay or go, you can cut people, all that stuff.
He's fine for a depth guy. Yeah, if I can upgrade, I'd upgrade.
Yeah, but he's going to get paid $750,000 this year.
You keep him.
Yeah, so
sure.
He's staying. Marcus Epps.
I don't know. He got torched on that one play.
Yeah,
basically ended the year with Russell Wilson.
And it doesn't even matter what that play is. Just, okay, I can find somebody better than Marcus Epps. I can also find somebody better than Rudy Ford. Your thoughts?
Hey, man, you traded for Rudy Ford.
Yeah. Now, Jeff McClain's to stay because of the impact he has on special teams.
Sure.
So, yeah. You know, you need those guys. You're going to have to add players.
Talking about Rudy Ford, man.
No way in hell I want to see Craig James ever again. I don't think Craig James should play football. No disrespect to Craig James. Like, every time he was on the field, something they threw his way, and he was just not good. Malcolm Jenkins. Stay or go.
He's going to be the big one, the tough one to decide this week, this offseason. I would like him for another 2 years, but certainly not. I think he got close to $9 million this year, $9.5 million roughly. Now the top end of the safety market is like 14.5 per year, thanks to the Honey Badger and Earl Thomas and Landon Collins.
That worked out for the Chiefs.
Yeah, sure did. I can't get anywhere near those numbers with Malcolm Jenkins.
Well, you're probably right.
If he would do like a 2-for-20 type of deal, I'm in.
You're going to have to guarantee a lot of it.
Guarantee, like, say, like 13.5, 14 million of that 20.
Yeah, guarantee a lot. I mean, listen, the guy's done so much for you.
It's hard for me to turn my back. Defense. Yeah, he's been the cornerstone of this defense for 4 years now.
Yeah.
And maybe.
And if you check out the stay or go thing for McClain, he puts little blurbs as to why he would say stay or go. And
what's
says,
his answer on
He says stay for Malcolm Jenkins. He goes, of the aging veterans, there's a strong argument for bringing him back. He's a leader, durable, and to me, the last part's most important, a player coach.
Yeah.
Right. You see him on the sidelines talking to players all the time. Mm-hmm. So
there's a lot of whispers out there that they're going to walk away.
And I believe those whispers.
I do as well, kind of. And that
it bums me out.
Yeah, a little bit, especially since Rodney McLeod's a free agent as well. And both cornerbacks are free agents.
Yeah, so then, like, then
so
what?
Who is our secondary right now?
Now you're going to have to draft a safety. You move Avante Maddox probably to that safety position. You consider the move from Rasul Douglas to the safety position.
I don't think that's going to get done.
They
would have done it by now.
Right, they're adamant about Rasul Douglas not being a safety.
Yeah.
They're adamant about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, so it's not going to happen. So
and they know more than we do about
yeah,
all
and Avante
stuff.
Maddox will be the emergency break.
Yeah, I mean, he already played safety his rookie
and
season.
He played it well.
Yeah, so Maddox would play safety, and you're going to have to bring in either free
Anthony Harris from the Minnesota is a guy that's been linked to them.
Or you draft.
But Howie knows they got to get younger and quicker, and Malcolm Jenkins is not that. I mean, he should be
here
for a lot.
He just does so much for you.
I hear you.
Other guys, Sidney Jones.
He's here. I mean, you're not trading him, and you're not cutting him.
Jeff says go. He says Jim Schwartz clearly doesn't believe in the former second rounder. If the DC returns, any sort of trade will do.
I feel like you're trading a seventh round draft pick when if you hold on to him. Look, the guy's only played. Look, it's really hard for people to understand. You can't really judge a guy until kind of like his third year in the league. You kind of need 3 years to get a real look at somebody. With him missing the first year, he's only played in what, 17 career games?
Yeah, he played in
now, I'm not saying
17, I think, in the Super Bowl year, but then didn't play in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think he's like 17 career games.
Right. That's also a problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
His biggest problem. I just don't think you can say, hey, let's just walk away from this dude for like a seventh round pick. I'd rather hold on to him as a depth piece and hope he finally something clicks health-wise, otherwise, something. I'm not saying have him as a starter, but if he's like your fourth or fifth cornerback on the roster, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, but if a team's desperate and you can get like a, I don't know what the trade
you're not
going to
get anything for him.
No? Not even like a fourth?
No. No.
All right, Craven LeBlanc. I
like him.
I say stay.
I think he's your slot guy. I think
Maddox,
he's your starter.
Stay.
Absolutely.
Jalen Mills, do you bring him back?
I would, depending on
money.
Money, yes, but who you get as the number one cornerback. If you go get a Byron Jones, then I'm cool with Jalen Mills as my number two.
Yes.
If you strike out on the free agent market and don't get
Well, then you're desperate and you need Jalen Mills.
But then
as
you'll
your
probably
one.
Spend your first round or second round pick on a cornerback. Then Jalen Mills is more risky, you know what I mean? Because you don't know what you're getting out of the rookie.
Right.
And you're relying on a rookie, and then Jalen Mills might get exposed. You know what I mean?
Jalen Mills might ask for more money.
Yeah,
in that
so if you bring in a stud cornerback, I'm very cool with Jalen Mills being number two.
So Chris Ruccini Rugsy on Twitter, he tweets, and you know if Jenkins goes somewhere else, he'll kill us.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
a lot.
You're right. That's if so-and-so goes somewhere else, they'll kill us, and that's any sport.
It's
not just football in Philadelphia.
Absolutely. So we've been talking a lot about the Eagles, but the Sixers have a huge one tonight down in South Philadelphia. 8:30 ESPN national game. All NBA eyes will be on the arena tonight. One, because it's a great matchup. I really wish Joel Embiid was out there. But huge matchup because LeBron James could overpass Kobe Bryant tonight for the third all-time leading scorer in NBA history. I fully believe LeBron is going to go for Kareem's record. I think he's going to have a really, really good shot at it. And we could be, you know, look, I remember going, my dad took me to a game versus Michael Jordan in the Bulls Sixers when I was younger because he wanted me to see Michael Jordan play. Like, he wanted me to experience Michael Jordan. LeBron is on that level.
You know what's funny? My father did the same thing, but I'm of a different generation.
Kobe. Was yours Kobe?
No, it was Michael Jordan.
Oh, when he was with the Wizards?
When he was with the Wizards. Son, we're going down at the time, this Wachovia Center.
You forget the 1 year, his first year with the Wizards, I think he was like 39 or 40. I think he still averaged like 20, 21 a game. He was just ridiculous.
But there's probably nobody else there.
I feel like
he averaged 22.9.
Yeah.
And his second year, he averaged 20.
Yeah. Like, he was still, whatever. Pull up that Wizards roster. Was Rod Strickland on that team? They had some guys.
You had rookie sensation Kwame Brown.
Which
on that
he
team.
Apparently stressed the team to take.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
He loved Kwame Brown.
Other names, Rip Hamilton, who ends up leaving for Detroit. Brendan Haywood, who ends up just being really just big.
Yeah.
He played for the Mavericks at points. Popeye Jones.
Ah.
Christian Laettner.
Wow.
Ty Lue. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Etan Thomas. I remember him as a big man.
Yeah, he was solid.
And Chris Whitney. Oh, God.
Wow. Was he rocking the headband? Still in the DC phase? Or no, that's Gatlin. I was thinking of Chris Gatlin.
Chris Whitney had a 10 points per game season that year.
Yeah. So LeBron James eclipsing Kobe Bryant most likely tonight, unless Ben Simmons puts his ass in lockdown and holds him to fewer than 18 points. I don't think that's going to happen, though.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. National stage. The Lakers are going to want him to get there. They want to stop talking about this, I'm sure. It'll be pretty cool to see. And Kobe Bryant has said that he wants to honor LeBron James the way Michael Jordan honored him when he passed him. And I find that so cool. So there's a possibility Lower Merion's finest, Kobe Bryant, could be sitting courtside maybe tonight. Maybe walk out, dap him up, and have a little presentation or something. But very cool. LeBron will pass, you know, Karl Malone here. I think he's only like less than 2,000 away from Malone for second, and then he's a little less than 5 away from Kareem. So pretty cool to see that tonight. If you're going to the game, really exciting. Sixers are +4.5 tonight. If I had a gun to my head and had to make a bet, I would take the Lakers. Yes. But Lakers have played a lot. It's the end of a road trip for them. The line is maybe a little smaller than I would have guessed. For Richardson and Embiid being out, and possibly a Korkmaz or Zaire.
Yeah, but we also know the success the Sixers have had at home, and maybe Vegas is taking that into account.
Yeah, it's an interesting line. I could see the Sixers pulling it off tonight.
You know, I think the Lakers were in Brooklyn a few days ago, 2 days ago. They were off yesterday.
The Knicks Thursday, and then they had a back-to-back.
They've been out here
Wednesday, Thursday.
They've been out here for a while now. It's like,
yeah, but
it's not like this is the first game.
Yeah. You know, Major League Baseball getaway day. It's like, all right, yeah.
It's a loss.
Yeah, who cares about this game? We're getting the hell out of here. So we'll see what happens tonight. Chad in North Philly wants to talk about the game tonight. What's going on, Chad?
Yo, what's up?
What's up, man?
That's Chaz with a Z.
Oh, Chaz, what's up?
Yeah, man, I'm chilling. Let's be honest about the Sixers, man. Then we can use another piece, but it don't really matter who we add if this guy really doesn't really play basketball how he's supposed to play basketball.
You talking about Ben?
Yeah. If we add another shooter, I mean, like, if he's going to have to make every shot. Them still going to jump and throw the ball out, turn over. He has to be more like an Andre Miller type. He barely shot, but he got everybody else involved, and he shot when he had to for us to be successful.
Well, I think you said it, Chaz. You know, they need another shooter here because Ben Simmons has the highest assist to three-pointer made total in the NBA, and without that jump shot, you're right. You know, the jump shot, jump in the air, pass, kick out thing he does can be problematic at times, but if you get another shooter in here, like let's say a Luke Kennard or a Davis Bertans from the Wizards, I think a lot of that gets kind of fixed. I mean, right. I still want them to shoot, but I think they desperately need another shooter.
Right. And I had another question.
Yeah.
Who you think going to have quicker success? Do you think Ben going to be able to, like, well, it's going to be hard to say he's going to shoot, but you think Ben going to shoot better or shoot at all, or Wentz become like the quarterback that we actually think he could be?
I think it's Wentz. Wentz is the better chance.
I think Wentz too, yeah.
I mean, we saw in the last 4 weeks against, yeah, oh, it's bad teams. Yeah, it was also with Greg Ward, Deontay Burnett, Rob Davis.
I think Wentz is going to make people forget that there was ever a quarterback, and I do this in air quotes, discussion.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's going to thrive next year.
And it's nothing against Ben Simmons. It's Carson Wentz is closer.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Ben Simmons is...
And I have serious doubts if we'll ever see consistent shooting from Ben.
Yeah.
Like, real doubts. Like, I'm almost coming to terms with the fact that it may never happen.
Is that why? Can we talk about something?
You want to talk about DaBaby?
Yeah. No, I brought up the dark fear, and I just want to get your thoughts on it. Because I talked about it with Anthony. Talked about it with Pat Egan a few weeks ago. Egan and I were on the day after they lost to the Rockets. But remember, Ben Simmons balled out that game. They lost, but he played really well. Mm-hmm. Embiid really wasn't much of a factor because it was such a fast-paced game that Embiid wasn't getting up and down the court to keep up with the offense, and Ben was, let's face it, Ben is best in a fast-paced transition type of offense. I have this dark fear, this whisper.
Oh, man.
That
with this much setup, it sounds like it's going
to
be dark.
That maybe the two of them ultimately won't be able to work out together to this elite level. They clearly have played well together. They've won 50-plus games the last 2 years.
You're not
alone in
the
second round of the playoffs. But it's just, I have this fear that, okay, maybe they can figure it out, but because Ben Simmons totally neglects to shoot, and we've seen it in the last couple of weeks in the games that Embiid's been out, Ben has been very effective down at the low block, you know, playing the five at points. Not that he's a center, but...
It's almost a glimpse into the modern NBA in that their skill sets are inverted.
Yes.
Like, Ben Simmons is the point guard that thrives around the rim, doesn't want to go to the free throw line, and then you have a center who thinks he thrives at the three-point line.
I don't think he thinks that, but he knows he can actually shoot.
And he's awesome at the free throw line.
Yes.
Like, their skill sets are bizarro world inverted.
Yes, you're right.
It's really weird.
So,
you say this, and I hear your fear, because you're not alone. I've had this discussion with some group text chains I'm on.
And I'm not saying, oh, there's no way. Like, I'm not the extreme, there's no way it's going
to
work out.
I think it's drastically overblown. When you look at the most efficient starting five lineups in the NBA over the last 2 and 3 years, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are usually top of those lists.
Right.
Some kind of combination with them in a starting five, whether it used to be Covington with them and whoever else, and now when you look in the beginning of the year, they're usually extremely efficient in lineups together.
Yes.
So I think it gets overblown how much they don't
fit. But my theory, or not my theory, but like just an observation is the things that we complain about the most with Ben Simmons are the lack of a jump shot, not attacking the basket, not drawing fouls. He had the jump shot's still not there, but he's done the other things ever since Embiid's out because there is more space for him to get down to the block. There is more space for him to attack the basket.
But Embiid's usually playing outside.
Not all the time.
Sometimes he's rarely on the block. I know he leads the league in post-up
points. Sometimes. And that's for, I guess, to get Ben involved into the offense. Like, I think it's almost like a design way of doing things.
Maybe.
So my fear is, okay, the things that we complain about Ben Simmons in losses, right? It's, wow, Ben disappeared here, which he did against the Raptors, and Joel Embiid wasn't on the court, so that kind of, it's not that like it's an argument, that kind of hurts my dark fear, which is a good thing. But I go, okay, we're not complaining about Ben Simmons when he plays well against the Nets and the Knicks and all these other teams because he was able to do things without Joel Embiid on the court that he probably normally wouldn't do when Joel is on the court. The flaws that people bitch about the most are when, and we're seeing that those flaws go away when Embiid's on the court.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm not being hot take.
I don't think it's as dark as you think.
I'm slightly concerned.
I think they really just need to play together more.
Yeah, and
they haven't been able to. That impossible.
Makes that hard because of injuries and also because of the time.
At the same time, like there's maybe imperfect fits offensively. Those are also two legitimate defensive player of the year candidates.
Oh, yeah. I know.
And that goes to their efficiency rating when on in a combination of
starting
five.
There's a lot of positive.
Together.
It may be the negative Philadelphia nature deep inside me.
Yeah, I think it is. But I don't think it's as dark as you think it is.
Yeah. And again, I want to make this clear. I'm not sitting here, wow, they're never going to work out.
No, I hear you.
I saw after the Nets game, trade Embiid. Like, I saw that, and I'm like, all right, relax.
It's out of control. I never want to see trade Embiid unless we're talking about five guys. Don't just say trade Embiid unless you're saying trade Embiid for Anthony Davis. Yeah. Trade Embiid for LeBron James. You know what I mean? Like, just stop.
Yes, I know what you mean.
Let's sneak in Rocco here in South Philly. What's going on, Rocco?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Jamie, I see you in the neighborhood. I live pretty close to where you live.
Oh, nice, right, man. Say hello next time.
I'm right in Bella Vista. All right, so I just have to get into, like, because I have the problem of listening to a lot of, not a problem, I listen to a lot of sports talk radio, a lot of podcasts, too much Twitter, and I just feel like there's something different. Now, I think we're the best fans in the world, but there's something different about our fan base that doesn't happen with the other
Absolutely.
Fan bases. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'm not even talking in a positive way. I'm talking in a negative way. I don't think other places are, like, I feel like Ben Simmons is hated in a lot of places, like in Philly. People just don't like him.
I think he's underappreciated, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and bordering on some hate from some people, totally.
Like I have my Facebook, like, knowledgeable sports fans can't stand the guy because of the lack of shooting, because of what kind of guy doesn't want to shoot, playing basketball, that whole thing. And I feel like the flaws of the other fan bases is they overly love their players. Like, if you talk to a Boston guy about Tatum, they love him and wouldn't trade him for Anthony Davis,
yeah,
or wouldn't trade him for Kawhi. Whereas we hate our own stars, and instead of defending him to the national media, to everyone, and it's very frustrating to me. And it's the same thing with Wentz. Like Wentz has his flaws, Simmons has his flaws. I think Simmons has to shoot. Like you never saw the Giants running Eli Manning out of town, and he's a marginal player. Like, I'm not going to use Brady as an example. I'm trying to use a really good quarterback.
Yeah, Eli's a good example. He's been ass for, like, what, 5-6 years?
Yeah, like you never see, like. I just don't understand. Is it just people that don't like happiness? Like, they don't want our fan base to be happy? Like how could you dislike Ben Simmons? We have never
I don't
had,
know. I,
we
I
have
think,
never had sustained success.
I think, Rocco, what it is a vocal minority expressing hate for something they don't understand. You know, people are always kind of afraid of or don't like things that are different than them and that they don't understand. I think people have such a hard time understanding why he doesn't shoot that it leads to hate because they blind out everything else that he does at an excellent level. It's a really weird dynamic. I understand what you mean.
It's a weird dynamic, and it frustrates me as I'm diehard 4-for-4.
Uh-huh.
I'm born and raised here, and I got older, and I have kids, and I just became Mr. Positive. Like, my friends call me Salt.
Yeah. I've become the same way.
instead of hoping for the best, hoping they figure it out, they're not a perfect fit. I get it. Is hoping for the best. That's the only shot we have of winning.
Yeah.
If you start breaking up the parts and trading Simmons for, like, Devin Booker,
yeah,
guys like that.
No, get the hell out of here.
We got no shot. Like,
I know.
It's over.
And Rocco,
I'm just so frustrated.
I hear you, man. You make a lot of sense. I
Suns also won't even trade Devin Booker. Just want to put that out there. The whole trade Simmons for Booker thing, it's not going to happen.
Yeah,
because
we'll
they're not
going to
trade one of the highest scorers in the NBA.
He does bring up a great point. We're a lot of people here are psychotic. We're psychotic sports fans.
Yeah, I have dark fears whispering in my head about Embiid and Simmons.
We'll get into that coming up next because Rocco does raise good points. I don't know what the hell some people are thinking out there. We'll talk about it all. You're listening to Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Time at the Fanatic is 11:26.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in. You did it again last break. You had another boomer moment. You don't even know you do it. You're such an old soul.
What's the problem?
You go, I forget what we were talking about, some kind of commercial line. And you go,
you lint liquor.
Yeah, you lint
liquor.
That
was the Trident commercial.
Yeah. It was good. And you went, you remember those, Guinness commercials with the brilliant? And I was like, yeah.
Brilliant.
Of course. You go, I went down a real YouTube rabbit hole the other day of Guinness commercials on YouTube.
Can we start a commercial here? Yeah, we got these 7-minute breaks, you know, during the midday show. So I got 7 minutes to watch 30-second commercials.
You're a 63-year-old, 26-year-old.
I was laughing. You know, they're just
sitting there. Hey, Christy, did you know there's this thing called YouTube? They have, like, almost anything. I'm watching old Guinness commercials right now.
Brilliant. I don't know, man. Made me laugh. I don't like Guinness.
No?
I don't like Guinness.
I used to drink it a lot more. You know, it's one of the lowest calorie beers you can have.
Is that right?
Yeah. Extremely low calorie. Because you look at it and you're like, oh, that looks thick and heavy. And yeah, no, it's actually like really good for you.
I don't know why I don't like, because I like IPAs. I don't like porters.
Well, I've grown out. My wife loves stouts and porters.
Yeah,
especially in the winter.
I never did.
Either do I. I'm strictly like a pale ale, pilsner, IPA, double IPA. Like, that's my wheelhouse. I grew out of the stout and porter love.
Yeah.
And when I have one now, I'm just like, I could drink one. If there's nothing there, I'll drink one, but I won't really like it that much.
I think the problem was it was a long day of drinking, and the last beer I had was a Guinness.
Mm, so it stayed with you.
I was just like, oh, God, this is gross. And I think, I don't think I've had one since.
And I also, you can't call them this anymore because it's problematic in 2020, the Irish so-and-so where you drop the shot into the Guinness. It's really offensive to the Northern Irish people, so I'm not going to say it. Where you drop the Jameson and Bailey's. Yes. I used to go to one in college.
I just didn't know that was offensive. I had no idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's taking a lot of people's lives.
I didn't. Oh, wow.
You got to watch Sunday Bloody Sunday, man. Anyway, I eat
brilliant,
when we when
brilliant.
When I was younger and like fresh out of college, my buddy owned a bar in D.C. And every year for the Eagles Redskins game, he would have a special on those drinks. So it was $2 shot of Bailey's and Jameson dropped in a Guinness specials. So we used to go to that every year and get a little wild. And ever since then,
you're kind of out.
Yeah, I'm out on Guinness. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people love it. My dad loves it. My wife loves it.
Yeah,
so I hear you. I can do the perfect Guinness pour, man. I can even make a shamrock in your foam. Bam.
Wow. Proud of yourself.
Skills. It's pretty cool.
Is that when your daughter's old enough to understand what you're saying, you're gonna guess what dad could do?
Yeah, I'll pour a shamrock.
Just making sure.
We're talking a lot about the Sixers Lakers tonight, and we've also been mixing in some Eagles talk as well. Let's go to Muhammad in the Northeast. Wants to talk about the Sixers and tonight's game. What's going on, Muhammad?
Not much. I was just calling, following the previous caller.
Yeah,
I think there is some delusion with fans.
Delusion with Ben Simmons, you said?
No, not Ben Simmons. Just some fans that are calling to trade him. And the same, it's not just Ben Simmons. It's also during the Eagles season calling to trade Wentz.
Yeah, why do we do that?
Exactly. Like, do you think this guy just come for pennies? Like, you can just go pick this type of stars? Think about it. How many elite quarterbacks comes off every season? There's maybe one or two that you can get out of it. And it's not guaranteed you're going to pick somebody from, or a player like Ben Simmons. You're not going to get that player. Look what happened with the number one pick after him. Did that work out?
Yeah.
You could go to another 20 rounds of first round pick.
Oh, Muhammad, sometimes, Andrew over here likes to go down commercial rabbit holes on YouTube. Sometimes I go back and look at old drafts, and people don't realize, both in the MLB is a given, but NFL and NBA, like, everybody assumes that a first-round pick is a lock to be good. If you go back and look at an NBA draft from 3 years ago in the top 10 list, in the top 10 picks, probably about 7 of them are busts. So,
exactly.
Yeah, like, Ben Simmons has shown you something in now his third season that I don't think people understand. And look, and I get the jump shot frustration. Everybody does. You don't need to be Dr. James Naismith to realize that's a issue. But everything else he does gets overshadowed by that fact. And everything else he does is at an exceptional level.
Yeah, and if you look at that draft, I mean, I get it. A lot of people like to do the whole, oh, Brandon Ingram versus Ben Simmons. Who would you rather have? You'd rather have Ben Simmons. But Ben Simmons is clearly the best player from that top 10, except maybe Jamal Murray. I mean, Jamal Murray is a very good basketball player, but he went 7.
I'm not trading Ben Simmons for Jamal Murray.
Exactly. He went 7. So you look at that draft, Brandon Ingram, Jalen Brown, Dragan Bender, Chris Dunn, Buddy Hield, Jamal Murray, Marquise Chris, Jakob Poeltl went 9th, and Thon Maker went 10th.
Yeah, like everybody, to Muhammad, to your point, everybody assumes that the grass is always greener.
Greener.
Yeah, and it's not.
Like, it's not going to just happen because you go back to the draft or you can just go get someone from free agency. Yes, he has some limitation with shooting. That's when you find a way to build a team that will make up for that shooting.
Absolutely.
Okay, look at what
Milwaukee did. They surrounded him with 8 3-point shooters.
Why? Because if you look at the way they stopped them last season was, if you stop him in the paint, there was nobody else in the perimeter that would kill you, right?
Uh-huh.
What did they do this year? Now, when you stop him, he just pushed that ball out.
Yeah, exactly.
You can double team him the whole game. You have to worry about the perimeter shooters.
Absolutely. Muhammad, great call, man. I talked a lot of sense
because last weekend I was on Sunday morning. I was on Sunday morning by myself. And I had a caller calling saying, all these teams, they should have done this. And he went through, he had a list of names, what they should have done.
In drafts?
He went back to 2014 and said they shouldn't have taken Dario Šarić, which they took Peyton and then traded for Šarić.
Yeah.
They should have taken Zach LaVine, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, dude.
Every team in the NBA can do that.
You have 6 years of information now in the NBA. Like, you can't just say, oh, they messed up in 2014
when
they took Dario over Zach LaVine.
Was injury prone and underperforming for his first 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, now he's a really good player.
I could make that case for anyone. I said
Every team in the league, I was like,
Tyreek Hill was, a fourth or fifth round draft pick?
He had some questionable.
But you could say 31 other NFL teams for four rounds made a mistake by not drafting.
And there's a Tyreek Hill light out there, second round pick potentially this year. Out of Penn State. His name's KJ Hamler. He would excite me.
The joystick, right?
Yeah.
But I hate that argument of, well, they should have done this. And it's like, really?
Yeah. But to Muhammad's point, like, when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks, and you know the thing that eats me up about their roster is Wes Matthews and Kyle Korver.
Oh, Kyle Korver picking the Bucks over the Sixers drove me insane.
Yeah, that hurt.
I was angry.
That hurt. And I wanted Wes Matthews bad, too. But when you look at their roster construction, you know, Giannis and Ben Simmons' games are eerily similar.
Except Giannis is more aggressive.
Well, yeah, way
big
more.
Time.
But he's also, 2 years further along in his career than Ben Simmons?
Maybe it might be year five, seven already for him.
I think it's six. But whatever. You know, Ben Simmons can still get to that type of game, but the rest of the team around Giannis, because everybody's going to collapse on him, is shooters. I mean, your boy Dragan Bender, who you just mentioned, is out there. You know, you just have guys like George Hill and Ilyasova and Wes Matthews and Kyle Korver and Eric Bledsoe and Chris Middleton. All guys that are just going to bomb, and they're going to have wide open looks at it. And when you look at Ben Simmons, you need that same type of blueprint.
Don't forget Villanova proud Dante DiVincenzo.
The big ragu. But you need more shooters on the Sixers team, plain and simple. I was wrong in that I thought Mike Scott was going to be a very valuable 6th, 7th man shooter off the bench. He's shown you
we were all wrong because we all expected.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't expect 40% like last year, but I don't expect him to be shooting below his career average right
now. And I expected better more three-point shooting, I should say, from Josh Richardson. I thought he would, because the stat that stuck with me during this offseason and roster construction was that Al Horford and Josh Richardson gave you more three-pointers last year in the entire season than Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick did. Now, that's because Jimmy Butler didn't really shoot them at all.
He's more of a mid-range
guy. And J.J., bombed away. But I thought it was going to be a negligible difference because of that stat. And Al Horford has been fairly bad from three.
He's been a disappointment.
And Josh Richardson
isn't. He's been a disappointment in general.
Yeah, but I think that's partly on coaching there.
Yes.
But Josh Richardson hasn't really shown you that three-point shooting. So now you're looking at this roster and you're going, all right, we got Furkan, and that's it?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, boy.
You know who the Sixers missed in 2016 when they drafted Simmons? 10 picks later, DeMontis Sabonis went.
That's
if they just took him, they either took him one or traded back. Yeah.
His father is still the best big man passer I've ever seen play
Arvidas,
in the NBA.
Man. Hall of Fame.
Devon in West Philly, we'll get you coming up next. Last segment for Salchunas, the boomer, the baby boomer, and myself, Jamie Lynch, before we send it down to Rob Motti at Parks Casino. Time at the Fanatics, 11:42.
97.5, the Fanatic.
Welcome back in, Andrew Salchunas. I'm Jamie Lynch. Hopefully everybody's staying dry out there on this very wet Saturday. I think it's supposed to...
It sucks right now.
To rain. Yeah, it does. So let me ask you a quick question. If I was in the right or wrong here last night.
You were in the wrong.
So baby's been sick. All, you know, the past, like, basically 10 days. And this is my new norm. The baby's going to get sick and then infect everybody else around her. The mother-in-law who does daycare for us right now until daycare starts in 2 weeks, it got knocked out bad, flu, all that. It's just been, like, a long week.
Yes.
I've been watching the baby a lot. You know, I was sick there for a while. My wife's been sick. It's just everybody's been sick. So it was just a long, exhausting week.
Yeah,
it
sounds terrible.
So she said to me the other day, like, my idiot high school friends, now that we're all, like, you know, families and a lot of moving parts, guys are idiots. They can't plan and coordinate for us to get together ever. So the wives are, you, they have a separate wives chain, which, God bless them. And I really appreciate that they try to keep us together because we're idiots.
Yes.
So they tried to get something together in Conshohocken yesterday. There's, like, this little playground area for kids. That's it's a BYO and nice. BYO food. Yeah, very cool.
Okay.
I wanted to go. 5 o'clock on a Friday. It would have taken us from South Philly, honestly, probably 50 to 55 minutes to get out there on a Friday. We had the long week, so she just texted, like, hey, you know, we're gonna lay low tonight. It's just been a long week.
When were the plans made?
Like Tuesday.
And your wife texted the last minute.
She texted on Friday because we were going to wait and see how we felt and address it then.
Uh-huh.
And then we were both kind of like,
I hate the last minute.
But we never committed to it from the start. Okay. So it was an open thing.
All right.
And then we went out to dinner last night at Dock Street Brewery, with their new location, like 15 blocks from us. And I posted it on Instagram because Skylar was trying to eat a banana
skin.
You
always got
to
be on the Instagram.
And I wake up to a text from my good buddy, my ex-roommate, and he goes, Instagram was a snitch for you last night. You could go out to eat in the city, but you're too good to come hang out with us.
I'm with him.
So you think I was in the wrong?
Yeah.
That's a violation.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, did you drive to the...
Yes, we did, but we drove 15 blocks.
Yeah.
As opposed to an hour and 45 minutes round trip.
How often do you see these people?
Not often enough.
Exactly. You're in the wrong. How's the baby feeling?
She's better.
Was she better yesterday?
Yeah. It was just a long week. We just didn't feel like doing an hour and 45 in the car.
No, I get that. I really do. I'm probably the king of dipping out. Either things early or whatever.
I think I'm in the right, but I can see why maybe people think I'm in the wrong.
You haven't seen him in a while.
It's my best high school buddies. It would have been an awesome time. I just didn't want to spend that much time in the car. That's all.
Wow. See, no, now that's selfish. I didn't want to spend that much time in the car. That's selfish on your part.
All right. Just had to run it by you.
So if Jamie's friends are listening, I'm on your side.
These are mostly my non-sports friends.
Okay.
You know, Anthony thinks I'm a mutant for having friends that don't like sports.
You are.
Speaking of the Eagles, Devon in West Philly wants to talk about the Eagles before we get out of here today. What's going on, Devon?
How you guys doing today?
Doing well, man. How about yourself?
I'm all right. I just got two quick points that I really want to hit on.
Sure.
First thing I want to talk about is Wentz. I'm not down on the guy. I like him, but I heard you earlier say that we shouldn't worry because the last four games, you know, kind of eased everything. My whole thing on that is, in the beginning of the season when the Dallas Cowboys were 3-0 and they were looked at as one of the best teams in the NFL, what's one thing that us as Eagles fans said? Oh, they only played the Giants and they played the Redskins and the Dolphins. So we didn't look too much into that. And
but that's not our team, Devon. Come on, man. Devon.
Exactly. But here's my point, though. The last four games, we played, you know, the Giants and the Redskins.
I know where you're going with this.
And you said, oh, yeah, well, they had Robert Davis and Burnett and all that. I just want to point out that you aren't giving those guys enough credit. No, they're not established players or anything, but those guys were playing better than the guys that we had.
No, I've given them a ton of credit, to the point where Greg Ward, a guy who really didn't have a job in the league, he was on the practice squad, I believe that he deserves to have a job in the NFL. I believe that Deontay Burnett and Rob Davis showed enough to get some tape and maybe have jobs in the NFL. Maybe not with the Eagles, but other places in the NFL. I've given them credit. Let's just face it. You're not going to go into next season with your receivers as Greg Ward, Deontay Burnett, and Rob Davis just because of what they did the last 4 weeks.
Oh, I get that point. I'm just saying I'm not looking too much into Wentz's last four games, especially because it was against those guys. Not that I'm down on him. I think he'll be better next year.
But you've seen him in elite levels before, Devon. Like 2017, you can admit, was elite. You know what I mean? Hey. So it's more than just those four games. I think those four games were when it mattered the most. and he built on it, and he pulled the team together, and he played his best football with the season on the line. So I think that's why people were encouraged by those final four games. Thanks for the call, though. I appreciate it. Thanks to everybody that called in today. Thanks to Dylan McKinnon for producing the show. Rob Motti live from Parks Casino with Josh Raybeck producing. It's coming up next. Andrew, a lot of fun on the first Saturday show.
We'll be back next week.
We'll be back next week, 9 to 12, right here Saturday mornings. Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay safe on the roads out there. Have a great Saturday. I'm a little thirsty. I think a couple beers are in order.
Oh, yeah, I already know. A cousin already called me.
Nice.
It's over.
Are you driving to see him?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Brilliant.
Time at the Fanatic.
I care.
Is 11:55.